You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Hey, it's Nick. Real quickly, I just want to explain what's about to happen here. Katie and I recorded an episode and it went very long. So we decided rather than release a very long episode, we're going to split it into two parts. So the first part that you're going to get here, it's going to be me and Katie. We're going to talk about what we've been doing in game, and we're going to probably ramble a little bit too much about Before the Storm, even though we don't intend to. So we'll talk about that. Then we're going to take a clip that we actually talked about in pre-show a little bit, because I thought it was something that we, you know, you talk about stuff in pre-show and then you expect, you know, that we'll talk about this later on as the show goes, but it just didn't, we didn't quite get back to it during the natural flow of the conversation. So I figured we'll take that out of the pre-show, put that a little bit later on in the episode, and then I'll come back at the end just to wrap everything up. So this is the Torn and the Goblin number 47. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Torn and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich and I'm Gragthar, Torn Hunter on Skywall US.
I'm Katie, Goblin Resto Shaman on Dalaran US.
And today is, it's an odd day for us to be recording. We're recording on a Friday. Normally we do Wednesdays, but we've had some crazy scheduling issues, but we're recording and that's what's important. today is June 22nd, 2018, and this is episode number 47.
Woo!
And we are going to talk about mages.
Mages. Mages. Lots of mages. Like mages for days, mages.
It's going to be a mage episode. So that said, how have you been doing? What have you been up to in game, Katie?
I've been great. I've been working on a lot of achievements. So I think I got my Mage Tower appearance last time we spoke, maybe? I don't remember if
Mage,
I...
Mage, there's that word.
Mage, see? It's like Pee Wee Herman. Mage! That's the magical word.
We should do that. We should do that.
We've been doing that like every 5 seconds. Could be like, oh yeah, I was on my mage. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure people would shut us off very quick. Yeah,
don't do like that. Don't do a drinking game where every time they say mage, take a shot.
Actually, I challenge you to do that because then people will be drunk halfway through the show.
No. We don't need that on our conscience.
See, like, you're the good shoulder angel and I'm the bad shoulder angel.
But well, yeah, that's because I'm the Torn and I'm concerned about the people. You're thinking, oh, I could be selling these liquors.
I'm a goblin. I'm like, yeah, we could make a lot of profit off of that. Yeah, you go ahead. A shot every time. Yeah, it's only 50 cents. Go ahead. Gotta line the coffin somehow.
Exactly.
But anyways.
So Mage Tower.
Yes, so I got my Mage Tower appearance on my Shaman. Very excited about that. I'm also doing the achievements for Nighthold and Emerald Nightmare. So I'm working on getting my Evil Moose mount, if you will.
You can still get that?
What?
You can still get the moose, that's the red one or the black one with like the red antlers.
Yeah. Like the Emerald Nightmare theme one.
Yeah.
That's one of those that's not going to go away.
I thought that was one of the, like ahead of the curve mounts.
No. Ahead of the curve mounts. As far as I know, the mounts are only at the very end of the expansion, like the Spellwing. So the one you're probably thinking of is.
No, because wasn't, I thought there was ahead of the curve for,
there's Mythic for ahead of
Kill
the curve.
Jaden.
Like heroic and Mythic.
Yeah, there, for some there was I thought there was something for Kill Jaden.
There are achievements, but they don't associate with mounts until it's the last one of the expansion.
Oh, okay.
So like,
well, no, because Gul'dan had the
infernal mounts.
Yeah,
those actually will drop off of him, but the way that
is very low now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like it's 100%. But they still exist. So they haven't gone away. The Moose Mount is just an achievement mount, like any of the other achievement run.
Oh, okay. So
you can still get that afterwards, which is great. My guild is just like, yeah, we're bored and we don't want to kill on Taurus anymore, so we're gonna just work on this instead. Like, okay,
so, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be another mount to put in, and I will hopefully. I'm not quite at 400, so I won't be able to get the new mount yet, but I'm getting pretty close, so I'm excited. Something to look forward to.
Cool. So what else have you been up to?
Oh, goodness. I actually haven't been playing a ton of Warcraft. I've been meaning to get into the beta, just like, or not the beta. Well, yeah, I guess it is the beta. I've been meaning to play more of the beta just because, I don't know, I really like it. And I should play more of it to kind of get a feel for like stuff that's going to happen. I haven't done any of that yet because it's been a busy week. But other than that, I've been meaning to play Heroes of the Storm so I can get my Junkrat Goblin skin, which is kind of related to Warcraft, but not really. But that's
that.
Go ahead.
I have to say that's a cool skin because I think you pointed it out on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't notice that it's actually a goblin in like a mount.
Yes.
That's roughly human shaped.
Yes. It's a goblin. So it's Junkrat as a goblin in, a mech suit, essentially, that is human shaped, which is kind of ingenious. And I absolutely love it. And they did a great job.
Because I just figured it was like, oh, they just turned got like Junkrat green and he's just like a super tall goblin for whatever reason. Like, no, there's actually if you look, he's got four arms.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the two little goblin arms. He's running the controls and he's got like two robo arms behind him that are the robo arms are ostensibly Junkrat's arms. So it still fits the profile. But yeah, it's a very, very creative skin. I'm very impressed by that.
Me too. I'm actually hoping, and I know this is loosely Warcraft-based, but I'm hoping that him and Gazlo will have additional goblin lines together now. So, got my fingers crossed.
You should be able to look that up. I think, because I know I sat there and I went through, like, all the lines for Yarel online. Like, there's a YouTube video where they just have, like, all the lines that came in. So, there has to be somewhere where you can see all the... Because they also added a whole bunch of interactions between characters as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping they will, because, well... I'm also a huge Junkrat fan, for those of you that didn't know. And in Heroes of the Storm, Junkrat and Gazlo are one of, like, Gazlo is one of two characters in Heroes of the Storm that's nice to Junkrat. The other is Stitches. So if you have a chance, go listen to Gazlo and Junkrat.
Stitches, doesn't Stitches have, like, a Roadhog skin?
I don't know. He might. If he doesn't, I don't think...
He has the hook.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if he does yet, but I know a lot of fans have theorized that he will if he doesn't already. I don't think he does yet, but that he would be the natural choice. So, but yeah, no, I really want Gazlo and Junkrat to have more voice lines because they are super chummy and adorable together, and it's wonderful. And Gazlo is wonderful, so love Gazlo forever.
I got the... was it the Corruptor Malfurion skin to drop? The one where Malfurion's the... it was like, what if Malfurion became the demon lord instead of Illidan?
Yeah, like the... Yeah, yeah, that one's really cool.
Yeah, and I played a match, and Illidan was actually in there with me, and I was like, ooh, what are they going to say with each other? And they didn't say anything.
No!
It was like, Chromie was also in the match, and she was talking with somebody else, and I'm like, what?
Legendary skins should have unique dialogue, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them do. I'm sorry, I don't play a ton of HOTS, so I don't know that for sure. But
no, I've been playing that a lot more lately. But especially so cool. Now, as we said, Yarel's in there. And the one thing that I'm interested in with Yarel being in there, because it's an interesting time on Blizzard's choice to put her in the game, because they're basically like assassinating her character.
Yeah.
In the beta.
Pretty much.
Which we'll probably talk about once... the Maghar questline goes live.
So excited for that. Just throwing it out
but
there.
I think what's fascinating is that Yarel is like, because I know like they're adding to the Heroes of the Storm lore. And maybe we need to change this to become like a Warcraft and Heroes of the Storm lore podcast someday. But they're adding to the Heroes of the Storm lore. And Yarel is a character who comes from an alternate timeline that spun off from our WoW timeline. So I wonder, like, is that like legitimately Yarel that's in the Nexus as much as it's legitimately anybody? Like, could she have been pulled from that other timeline into the Nexus? I mean, I don't know. Because in ways, like, you watch like the Varian cinematic when they introduced him to the Nexus, and that very much felt like this is Varian's afterlife. But then for other characters, it feels like, oh, they just kind of showed up there. Like, none of the Overwatch heroes are dead.
No. So I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Because, like, yeah, you're absolutely right that this is a very strange time to introduce Yarel. And the other thing that's strange about it for multiple reasons is it's not like Yarel is the only Draenei, right? In fact, I would almost argue that, like, Vaelin or Murad are more, I wouldn't say better known. Like, Murad, people might not know Murad as well if you didn't play the Alliance. or like his name might be kind of familiar, and you're like, okay, like I kind of
people know Murad from the Burning Crusade cinematic, right. Even if they don't know the name Murad, when they see him, they're like, oh yeah, he's the guy from the exactly. You know, he has the book and the big hammer, and
yeah, and that's who he is. But people don't realize that, you know, he's the same yeah. person, I think. But that's yeah. what's interesting is if the argument was like, oh, well, they probably want a Draenei character. I'm like, okay, I could see that. But I think Valen, especially after this expansion, would have been the right choice. Just because he's a very well-known Draenei, right?
Well, no, I agree with you in that regard. But I think the bigger issue is that if you're introducing Alterac Valley as your new map, Draenei's none of the there. Draenei make sense.
Yeah, none of the Draenei make sense at all. Like, lore-wise, but also the Nexus isn't bound by lore. It's just bound by endless creativity. It's kind of like Hearthstone in that way, where Hearthstone has some lore boundaries, which I think it has more so than the Nexus, I would argue. I mean, like Nexomania, right? But
yeah, that I think that's the thing though, is that as much as at the end of the day Hearthstone is a card game in the Warcraft universe, and so whatever lore is in that card game is loosely pulled from the existing lore around the universe, for Heroes of the Storm, the lore is just that they can access all alternate dimensions. So yeah, apparently there's an alternate dimension where everybody, where the Nexus is like a wrestling ring, and it's a lucha libre. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason I've been playing. I was like, oh, this looks amazing. I totally wanted the Lunara La Parca skin.
Right.
And I got lucky. I actually drew that from one of the boxes.
Oh, very cool. Congrats.
So yeah, and then after that, I was looking more closely at the Sonya skin and the La Pantera or something. I was like, no, I want that one.
Yeah, right. I think I went with the Sonya skin just because I like Sonya an awful lot. So.
So. But. Yeah, so they've been doing a lot of fun things in Heroes of the Storm. I still think though that there is a bunch of like unreturned voicemails at Blizzard where somebody keeps like calling Ian, like, hey man, it's me from the HOTS team, and we just read some stuff on Wowhead that
you're killing off.
Heard about Urel, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, and we're gonna release her, so just give me a call back. Like,
I kind of have it canonically in my mind that Ian just has like a phone that's plugged into a closet somewhere. That's like his mainline phone. So he's like, oh yeah, no, I take phone calls, but it's like in a closet way down the hall, so he doesn't have to listen to it ring all day.
Right.
Poor guy. But
I would assume, if anything, I think he just routes his calls to like lore.
Probably.
There's actually, what is it? There's something actually during the last Q&A where they asked the question about like, you know, so you said like, you know, as we're moving towards the, you know, the end of the beta, that all the classes are locked down. There's no more major changes. Well, what about like all the shaman specs? You really haven't worked on them. And he basically said like, yeah, those are going to have to wait till 8.1. And Lore gives him a look, and they just zoomed in on the look like, thanks. Like, I'm going to have to deal with this on the forums now.
Yep, I remember that look. And I mean, so. I kind of feel bad because a lot of the shamans were like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. I'm like, dude, shamans feel pretty well. I probably got people that are going to send me hate mail, but I was going to say the shamans feel pretty good right now to me, but I also
on the beta?
I mean, I played around with healing on the beta and I was like, this stream's fine. So
it's the elemental spec from what I understand.
Okay, that there, would probably.
Because I think if you go on like the shaman Discord, it's there, you know, there's like you have like the little channels for each of the different specs, and the elemental one, they keep changing the name to like disrespect or something. Don't even bother, stuff like that. So,
people. All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean, yes, we kind of got off topic, but
yes. So
totally forgot
anything else that you've done, or that you were pretty much wrapping up what you'd done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, besides all of the, there's been a ton of Warcraft lore just in general. Warcraft lore and news, I should say.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm just wrapping up. I haven't gotten the Chosen, and I probably won't get that title, but that'd be the last thing on my list that I was going to try and do, is getting the mythic.
That sounds difficult.
It's really difficult, and I'm kind of mentally prepared myself that I won't have that one title, but I'll have the first aid title or field medic title. So
that's good.
That well, one I'm very happy about.
The first aid one is difficult just because it seems like of RNG, like you just have to wait for that to drop, but you can kind of brute force it if you have enough time.
But the Chosen, that's the one where you need to do, was it Helya on Mythic?
And not die.
And like nobody gets hit by a certain spell or takes certain damage or something, or?
I think it's Helya on Mythic and nobody dies and you can't get hit by a certain spell. Yeah, something like that. It's incredibly difficult. It's not so bad now, but you do need 20 people. You need 20 people that are competent and know what they're doing. So that's a little more difficult. But it's one of those where I would love to try it, but the likelihood of it happening is probably pretty small. And you get like a unique set of armor, I guess, for it, which I was kind of like, meh, like it's kind of cool. But also I'd probably never use the Chosen title. Like, I'm more sad that I missed out on the Hand of a Doll, to be honest. But
yeah,
I'm just glad I have Field Medic. That's all I'm going to say.
I like, at the very least, though, if you still do the stuff for Hand of a Doll, I think it's the stuff for Hand of a Doll, you at least get the, I think it's the same stuff that gives you the Illidari Tabard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you at least get that. Because I was just doing the stuff back there. I didn't even know I was doing that for a Tabard. And all of a sudden, like, bam, I got this nice little sweet purple and green Tabard.
So,
which is very flattering on female characters.
Yeah. Well, even on male characters, if your male characters have some pecs, it's like, boom, and you're like, oh, well, hello there.
Yeah.
They're very Illidan-ish tattoos, or I should say Illidari tattoos, because, I mean, they are. But
yeah.
There's actually a really cool, for those of you that haven't gotten your Illidari tabards, there's a hack you can do where you can actually get both of them at the same time. And it's on Wowhead, but basically what you do is you right-click to open the box, but you don't actually open it, you just peek inside. And then I want to say, like, I'm trying to remember, like, Wowhead is the exact instructions, but, like, you peek inside, but you don't remove it out of the box, then you delete it or something, and then you can go to the tabard vendor and buy both of them. Something like that. Please don't take that as the specific instructions, because it's not more complicated than that, but it's really easy, and then you can actually, like, oh, I think you peek inside the box, delete it, and then go to the tabard vendor and say, I've lost my tabard. I think that's what you do. Something like that, but I wound up being able to get both and just doing the quest once. So instead of doing it twice, because you need to do it on two separate characters to get the purple and the blue one, you can do one character and get both of them. So handy little tip for any of you that want to go do it. It's really fast. It takes like less than half an hour to go do. It's a fun tabard too. So that's just, if your demon hunter's missing a cool tabard.
Ooh, I haven't even thought about putting it on the demon hunter. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's really cool. I also might collect tabards because I have no life. But it kind of sucks. Like, I'm kind of mad about all the restrictions on tabards. It's like, oh, you can't transmog it if this one character doesn't have the, you know. I'm like, I already did this once. Come on, don't make me grind it again.
They need to make reputations account-wide, but that's another conversation.
That's another conversation. Yes, it has nothing to do with lore, which we should probably get into.
We should probably get back to it. So I'm almost done with the mage class hall quests.
Mm-hmm.
I finished all the stuff in the Broken Shore. I got through all that to get to the point where I actually pick up the mage class hall quest again. And the final quest is for the class mount, where basically Caligos is like, hey, Antonitis, I think it's Antonitis, before he died, he was working on this research and he had these like three parts. That this might be useful for like you since you're the Archmage. Why don't you go like get these three parts? And so you have to talk to the portal trainer in Dalaran, who's got one of them. You've got to talk to, there's a guy out in the out by Karazhan.
Okay.
Is it by Karazhan? I think there's the runes around Karazhan that are constantly being purged. He's out there. You have to go there. He's got one of them, and then Khadgar has the other one. And so you talk to them and you get these three pieces and they're all supercharged with each of the different specializations. Like the one's supercharged with frost, one's supercharged with fire, one's supercharged with arcane. And you go to this you go to the Eye of Eternity. That's right.
Nice.
Caligo sends you to the Eye of Eternity and he's like, okay, here it's safe. Discharge the energy. And then once you get rid of the energy, then you can like, I don't know if you actually merge them into one mount or if each piece becomes one of the mounts for each of the specs, since you know, for the mage, you get this, it's like the fidget spinner, people call it. Looks like a sewer grate, but they're all different color for each spec.
Fidget spinner.
So I don't know if that's three separate mounts that I wind up collecting or if it's one that just changes color based on what I'm using. But So what you're supposed to do is you take these three parts, you discharge the energy. And of course, when you discharge the energy, there's a giant elemental that shows up that you have to actually defeat. And so I'm on my mage, which I've not been playing for very long. I don't know really how to play it all that well. And now I've got, you know, so I'm what I level like 888, level 110. And these elementals are like level 112. And the spell, the fights are designed that you, to make sure that you know your class. Like there's stuff sure. that you have to like spell steal, and I'm casting, but I have to be running around because especially with the fire one, I can't stand in the fire. So I haven't got my mount yet because I can't. But I'll figure that out. I've got, this is one of those things where it's like, this is why I didn't want to do the mage tower.
The mage tower is tough.
So yeah, the mage tower, I'm definitely not doing that on my mage because I'm assuming that's even tougher than this, but I'll figure it out. There's, I have a ton of order resources, and you can actually buy some little buffs with your order resources. So I'll just keep buying those buffs and burn through those.
Have you tried doing time warp?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is I really got to like actually look at my abilities and like lay them out on the keyboard in a way that makes sense.
I was throwing it out there because legitimately every time I play a mage, I forget I have time warp. Like every time.
Yeah, I got to sit down. I have to do this before 8.0, especially because if I have like time warp and some other stuff, I want that all in one macro. I don't want that all hit by the global cooldown.
So
that's fun. But I'm disappointed, though, because I think I mentioned last time that when I was doing the part to get Aethys Sunreaver as my follower, that he had that little, like, his little girlfriend who was, like, younger than him. I think I mentioned that. And I was like, oh, she's totally got to be, like, a spy for the Legion. And as far as I can tell, no. That never came back. So she's not a spy. She's legitimate.
Aw.
He's still being a creepy old dude. Oh. Like, he shouldn't be running around with some, like, 20-year-old Nightborne or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure he's not 20 years old. It feels that way, though. It just feels like he's this old dude, and he's got this young woman on his arms. And
the Nightborne's way older than he is, though, to put it in perspective.
Yeah, but she's... I don't know. He just seems very established because it's in the mage hall, and she's all, oh, look, I'm the first Nightborne mage and everything. And it's like, oh, that's great. Even though technically I am the Archmage already.
But and you're like, I am the first Nightborne. Thank you very much.
So hopefully the next time we record, I'll be able to talk about how I got my mount, and I really won't have much more to say about it because I think I explained the whole story thus far. So we'll see how that all goes. So the other thing to talk about, the sort of elephant in the room, as it were, and I don't want to talk about this too much because we are recording this weekend with Britza from Geeks of Azeroth. We're going to record episode number 2 of the Azeroth Book Club. And I still need to put, I apologize for this, I need to put episode number 1 of the Azeroth Book Club up on the feed. Hopefully by the time this episode goes live on the feed, the Azeroth Book Club episode should already be there. It's episode number 1 where we talked about Dawn of the Aspects.
Yes.
Yes. So episode number 2 is going to be us talking about Before the Storm. And that will make it to our feed at some point, I'm assuming, until we get it, Azeroth Book Club gets its own feed. But putting that aside, we did finish Before the Storm. So I have one question I want to ask you. This is all I want to say about it.
Okay.
Which was better, Before the Storm or War Crimes?
Why you do this to me?
Just answer. I don't want you to go into a long, detailed explanation. I feel like if you go into too long of an explanation, you're going to talk too much about the book. I don't want to get into that. I just want you to say just which one was better.
Okay, on what criteria? Like, because I can't
whatever
just say
criteria you want. You are taking a trip for 30 years. You can only bring one of these books with you. Oh, which book are you bringing?
Don't do this to me. Those are like my two favorites now. I think War Crimes had more character complex, like not more complex, but I think they explored Garrosh, and Garrosh was a very complicated character we didn't get to see a lot of. So in that respect, if I had to take a book for 30 years, I'd be like, oh, that, because like Sylvanas, they fleshed out very well. I feel like Garrosh, they didn't get a chance to flesh out in the novel as well, like prior to War Crimes. So War Crimes was a really interesting exploration of a character we didn't know much about. However, I'd say, I think before the storm might squeak ahead just a little bit, because I absolutely love how Christine Golden writes goblins, and she is my hero, and I absolutely love what they've done with all of the characters. And I'm just going to say there are two major storylines, in my opinion, that feature two characters each, which is Anduin and Sylvanas, and then there's another pair that kind of go through the novel, and you kind of see them. And what's interesting is they are... I'm trying not to give any spoilers. I'm not gonna give any spoilers, but the storylines are opposite. Like, one's about working together, and the other one is about clashes and conflicts. And if you think about it that way, it's a really interesting and well-written book, and it's, like, the parallels you can draw, and then... So I have to say this before the storm squeaks by just a goblin hair. Also, I love Gallywix. She's a horrible, horrible person, but I love Gallywix.
All I'm going to say is that War Crimes was better, not by much. Not a slight at all on Before the Storm, but I felt like I think Bane as defense lawyer was just brilliant.
Bane was defense lawyer.
And I think that alone, that alone puts it over the top. I feel though, War Crimes came to get... War Crimes, I think, was bigger because it was the culmination of Mr. Pandaria. And by say that, it was the culmination of everything that started really in Tides of War.
Yes.
It was bringing things together. This feels more like the start of something else. Like, I'm very curious to see what book is written going into the next expansion, to see because they're all great books. I would actually say this one was better than Tides of War.
So, yes, I would say that too.
In a way, there are parts of it that almost make it feel like the three of them form like a bit of a trilogy.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. Because there were a lot of references back to the other two books.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I would rate them War Crimes, then Before the Storm, then Tides of War. And by no means am I saying that Tides of War and Before the Storm are terrible. They're all great books, but you know, it's one, two, three, all ranked very highly.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, and I don't want to say that that's really tough because you're right. Like, I definitely agree that War Crimes is a better like whole novel, where this one feels like it's missing a lot of pieces. Like, we don't really know a lot of the pieces, and it didn't finish the story. It wasn't like its own. I don't know. It's tough. It's very tough to describe without going into any sort of spoiler, which we definitely shouldn't do. But I want to say that I was very excited for the... let's just say the particular races that were featured in this novel, which is new. So that was very exciting to me.
You can say that there were goblins featured very heavily.
Not goblins, though. Forsaken.
Oh, yeah.
Which was... we've never really had a novel from their perspective at all, which was awesome. So I was very excited. So people should... if you are a Forsaken fan, this book is for you. If you like the Alliance, this book is for you. Like, it has a little bit of everything for everyone, and it's just kind of great.
Yes. So no, I definitely recommend it. And that's really all I want to say about that.
I want to say so much more.
Because we could go off. Yeah. But that would derail us from our discussion about mages.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
So that was the first part of our recording. Next week we'll follow up on the mage stuff, but now here's a little snippet from our pre-show.
Like, tonight we're just doing achievements, so I'm just the spam button, just chain healing people. I'm like, yeah, chain heal. I don't have to worry about things.
Oh, so you're actually... okay, so you're playing while we're awesome. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. Let's see here. I've certainly done... there was another podcast I did recently where I was playing HOTS the whole time, and I'm pretty sure you could just hear me clicking in the background, like, because I'm terrible and I just assume I have to just click all the time, everything, even though, like, there's like... I haven't figured out like what the actual like cooldown is on like my auto attack, so I'm just... once I figure that out, it'll be a little bit easier. Normally, if I'm podcasting, I might play Hearthstone in the background because that's relatively calm. And then it's like, but I try to make sure I play on like wild because I don't care about my wild ranking. So like, if I lose because I wasn't paying attention, I'm not too upset. Like if I'm playing in the standard and I lose, then I get irritated because I don't want to lose. But
fair.
Anyway.
Nah, I usually like, this is kind of weird, but like if I'm in World of Warcraft, I usually just run laps around cities. That helps me think. But it's like stream, I don't know. I'm not too worried. I'm like, healing a main raid while doing podcasting. I don't need to think while healing.
So. Yeah, I think it depends on, I guess what you're doing there. Well, I know a lot of podcasters fish. A lot of people fish during their podcasts. So that's common.
I mean, we're doing normal night hold, so it's like we just walk in there and face roll everything. Yeah.
And I know the Training Dummies just did an episode where they played through the Horde side of the Battle for Lordaeron on the beta. Yeah. Which I started listening to it, and I was like, you know what? Even though I've kind of spoiled myself on it already, I don't actually want to listen to it on the playthrough. And I wonder if that's something we should talk about. Have you been following any of the controversy about the, the story surrounding the burning of Teldrassil?
No, I've kept that a complete secret.
Okay. Sorry. I will say no more then.
Well, you finished the book, so I do have a quick question that is not related to the content of the book. It's very broad. So it
ask the question, and I'll decide if I want to answer it now or on the stream. Okay. Or on the show.
Do events in the book directly tie into the burning of Teldrassil? Because it seems like right now they are two very separate entities.
Yes. Ask that question, and I'll go into more detail because I'll talk a little bit about the book because there's something you said last week that actually, like, when you were talking about something, it hit me like, this is why they called it Before the Storm, and like it didn't. And it's like, I don't think I actually like picked up on that point when we talked last week. So ask me that question again when we go live.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I understand that it's before the events of this. Like, I get that. I really do. But I was just like, but the events were nothing like what I would have expected. Like, that's basically like the focus of these events I didn't think would carry over into the next expansion. Like, the topics they chose to hit on besides Azerite, I was like, these seem strangely timed, and I'm curious, but also like,
okay, this I'll say now because I don't want to say it on the episode, and I'm gonna probably want to touch on this when we record with Britta this weekend. But I feel like we were set up to expect a different book than what we got.
Yes, that I think so too.
Yeah, because if you look at that first chapter with Sylvanas, where she's like, and we're going to go for Stormwind. And we're like, okay, so the Horde's going to go attack Stormwind, and that's going to backfire, and then they're going to wind up burning Teldrassil. Like, that's what it felt like. That's what the book was going to encompass. And then and then that would lead into the expansion. And instead, we got all the stuff that leads up to whatever's going to happen with Teldrassil.
Well, and that's why I was confused, because, like, in the book, she makes no mention of Teldrassil, so there must be something that changed her mind. But I don't know what that is yet. And it seems like a very, like, me and my friend have talked about this in depth, but it doesn't make any strategic sense for her to attack Teldrassil as of right now that I know of, unless she has a vengeance against Ghen, which we all know she does. But that's kind of one of those things where I'm like, there is no strategic value in Teldrassil as far as we know, unless there's, like, the other thing I had considered. Which I don't know any of the lore, so please
I want to say that she does explain her rationale for why they're going at Teldrassil.
Okay, because I was wondering if there's some sort of like artifact or something that she's after, and that wouldn't surprise
me
either.
I want to say, and I don't know if it's been removed. I know there have been plenty of changes throughout the beta, but there was one point where basically she said, she more or less says, like, this is why we're doing this.
Okay.
And then,
because I hate everything. That fucking
and honestly though, I think really what we're looking for, that's going to be in those novellas. Actually, the novellas.
Oh, you mean like the collector's edition one?
Yes. Or? And that actually is gonna.
I mean, that's, but the problem with the novella is that, like, the pre-patch is going to hit before the novella does. So the pre-patch, what I'm hoping is it'll be book, pre-patch.
No, because the novellas are going to be released online. You get the physical form with the collector's edition.
Oh,
so they can put the novellas up online, and then you just have to wait a month to actually read the physical book, but you'll have it might be available before then.
Okay, that would make sense.
That would make sense.
For some reason, I thought they were going to release the novellas.
I don't know when they're going to release them, but without giving too much in terms of spoilers, people have played through I don't know if they played through or they just pieced together the Alliance, like what happens if you play Alliance, what happens if you play Horde, and there are discrepancies that do not line up, which is odd, because if you look at Toraho, for example, if you play Alliance side and you play Horde side, you can piece together what really happened, and it all makes sense as far as one coherent story and how both sides are angry at the other because they both feel like the other one was the dick. And in this case, they do not line up, which means
that's what I've heard.
Right. And so people are saying, like, well, this is shitty writing by Blizzard. But they keep saying, look at that storytelling panel, where they keep saying, we're trying some new things. We're trying some things that are different here. And I feel like there is a third shoe to drop here. There's something that we don't have that is going to bridge all this together, and it's going to be in the novellas, because they wouldn't write those novellas. Because until you brought them up, I had forgotten about them. They wouldn't write the novellas, which are basically, I think, going to bring us through that story.
They'd have to.
If the stories weren't coherent.
Well, we know for a fact from some of the leaked images, I didn't read any of the text, but we know like Saurfang is going through Ashenvale and he meets Malfurion, mm-hmm. and they attack each other. Right. So there must be, like, you know, that they are on the way to Teldrassil or on the way back, like one of the two.
And that is, I'm not sure if you actually see that happen in game or if it's just referenced, but that is at least referenced. It is at least referenced when you play through the game, the Saurfang Malfurion confrontation. So,
yeah. Well, because I mean, after I read the book, I was like, the burning of Teldrassil has to be the pre-patch. It has to be.
No, it's going. Well, that's the other thing is, if you look on the calendar on the beta, it says for the next month up until I think June 17th is the War of the Thorns event.
You mean July 17th?
Yeah, up until July 17th is the War of the Thorns event on the beta. Or maybe it's on the PTR. It's either on the PTR or on the beta. They're advertising a War of the Thorns event. And everybody's like, well, what the heck is this? And everybody's thinking, oh, that must be the war through Ashenvale and Darkshore and that ultimately culminate. That must be the pre-patch event that culminates in the burning of Teldrassil. So, I mean, the other thing too, if you think about it, they could very easily do this where they could release it in parts over like 4 weeks or something, and so they might not they might not have to release the novellas until the end of that. Where we might play through, like, you know, this week we kind of do a little bit of the campaign in Ashenvale. This week we do a campaign closer to Darkshore. This week, you know, I don't know how much content is actually there, but they could very easily do something like that. So we'll see.
I don't know. I'm really excited regardless. Like, I'm getting a little frustrated with some members of the lore community because they're like, well, this doesn't make any sense yet. I'm like, guys, we don't even have everything.
Yeah, exactly. Stop exactly. It. Yes. Yes.
Stop it. We'll smack people on the hands. Okay. Yeah, we should probably start recording.
Yes, we should. So that was our pre-show snippet there that we played. I just want to say that in the interim, since we recorded that, we have recorded the Azeroth Book Club episode number 2 with Britza, so look for that coming out soon. Before the Storm was a really good book. I know I come across a bit hard, I think. That's just how much I love War Crimes. But it is going to be interesting to see how this all fits together. I feel like there was a bit of a game to be played going into Legion as far as actually piecing together, because Blizzard gives us a lot of story and they don't give it to us in chronological order. So you have to kind of figure out where exactly things slot into the story that they're telling. I think following Khadgar's exploits before Legion, as he traveled from the Broken Shore to Karazhan to Stormwind, back to the Broken Shore, all of that, it got a bit confusing, but I think if you were able to piece it all together, once you saw the actual story that was being told, it made a lot of sense. I feel like we're in for the same kind of thing here leading into the Battle for Azeroth. But the one thing that I'm looking forward to is that
back at BlizzCon 2017. Gosh, that feels like it was so long ago, and yet it wasn't. You know, we got that awesome cinematic, and in a way, it felt like we were being shown the future, that we're on Argus, we're dealing with the Legion, you know, where we're beating up on Antorus on a regular basis, and we got to see what was coming, where we're going. We know that this moment, this clash in Lordaeron is our destiny, and now we're moving towards it. Whereas before we just had these like visions, almost like our player characters are oracles that they see what exists in the future. Now that future is here, that we've, you know, we didn't just have chapter two of Before the Storm to read through and pore over and wonder, you know, what is this desolate council? Why, what's going to happen when Sylvanas tries to go for Stormwind? You know, we've seen how those events do or don't play out as the book allows them to. And now, you know, we've gotten some of the comics. We know that the Three Sisters comics happens before the Storm, which makes sense that they released it like the week before that the book came out, because it's referenced in there. That I think the nice thing about having Christy Golden on the, you know, officially as a member of Blizzard is that there seems to be a much tighter integration of the material this time. That it's just satisfying to know that, you know, we've known where we were heading and we're going to be there. And then where we go from there is anyone's guess, except for the people who have been on beta. They know exactly where we're going. But even, I guess, beyond that, like, we're going to get to patch 8.0. We're going to play through all that content there. There's going to be a ton of stuff to play. You know, the Zandalar if you're Horde, Kul Tiras if you're your Alliance. And we're going to get the war, the factional war heating up and the war campaign going on between that. It's going to be exciting to see that all play out. So I greatly look forward to all of that. And yeah, that's coming very soon. So with that said, our next episode is going to be the mage-centric episode. I know we joked about that earlier in the show, but we talked for a while on Dalaran and the Kirin Tor and the Council of Six, and I learned a few things from Katie, and I don't know if Katie learned anything from me, but yeah, it was a good long talk. So look forward to that next time, and then after that we'll be back right around the beginning of August for I guess the real, you know, we'll probably take a look at that point at what's been going on with the burning of Teldrassil and all that, to really lead us into Battle for Azeroth, because that's what's coming. So with all of that said, this has been the Torn and the Goblin number 47. You can email us at torngoblin@mashthosebuttons.com. Let us know what you guys think about HOTS. What do you think about what they're doing with Urel? Because that is... It's just funny. But you can email us. You can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes and Apple Podcasts on iOS devices, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Podbean, and by RSS feed. Links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. And Katie can be found at HyruleMaster77 on Twitter. She is also on the Three Goblins in a Trench Coat podcast. You can check them out as well. I am at WookieBH on Twitter. And you can find me on WoW Talk and also on the MashCast here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. And we are at Torin Goblin on Twitter. Yes, the handle is back. I am super excited about that. So you can tweet at us there. Let us know what you think about stuff. You can also tweet at MTBSite on Twitter, Facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, YouTube.com/MashThoseButtons. You can join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord. It's discord.me/MashThoseButtons. And you can go to MashThoseButtons.com/schedule for all our scheduling details. Our next episode is scheduled for, I think it's July 25th at this point, because it's been a while. So the next episode 48 is going to be the mage stuff. So it's going to be like 2 weeks after that on a Wednesday usually. So We'll let you know. We'll let you know. But yeah, you can join us at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You know, usually it's every other Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. But again, check our Twitter for any updates as far as the schedule goes. Thank you to Jared for producing and editing. I know this episode and the next one have been especially confusing because we're taking a lot of pieces and stitching them together. So thank you to Jared for all that. Thank you for listening. For Katie, I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you. And time is money, friend.